The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know, my name is Ryan, and I am the pastor here. And this Sunday is a special Sunday for us. We are welcoming new members. Now, what that means for us is a kind of formal commitment. Once people have been here for a certain amount of time, and they've kind of settled in, and they've started to connect with Jesus and connect with people, and hear and understand the vision of our church, we like to lead people to a point where they make it official. You know, it's kind of like you're dating the church for a little while, but there comes to a point where you're like, well, are we going to do this? You know? And so when people come into our church, one of the first things I say to them is, thank you for taking the risk. Coming to church can be scary if you didn't grow up in it. Coming to church for the first time or to a new church for the first time can be scary because you don't know what's going to happen. What are they going to preach on? Is it going to be offensive? Is it going to hurt? Is it going to be uncomfortable? You know, all those kinds of questions. Are people going to make me feel welcome? Or am I going to walk in the door and wish I could just turn around and leave because it's awkward? Canadians especially do not like to feel awkward. And so coming to church is a big deal. And so in that, we want people to really take their time. That this is not just a social club. It's not a Walmart you go to and just make some purchases, consume some stuff, and leave. This is about meeting with the creator of the universe. This is about encountering God's way of salvation in Jesus. This is about God's temple where his presence resides. So when you come to church, part of what you're feeling out is, does it do, is it what it claims to be? Is this where God is? Isn't that a good question to ask when you're going to church? Am I going to encounter God in this space? The next logical question is this a place for my growth and my development into being more connected to Jesus, growing as an apprentice of him? And can I do that with these people? Are the people in this room going to serve and encourage my growth, my apprenticeship, my discipleship, my following of Jesus? Or is being a part of this going to feel like a hindrance? Here's a sad truth about church today. You can go to church in such a way that the church is actually hindering your following of Jesus. Isn't that sad? You can go to a church that's preaching other things, that's focused on other things, that talks about all about how you make yourself better, about how you are going to grow in your life, how you can be encouraged, and it's all kind of blanketed under this Christian-like language, maybe even quote a verse. But none of it is explicitly about the person and work of Jesus and how that connects to your deepest needs and how that changes everything. Church, if done wrong, can keep you from more of Jesus. Isn't that sad? We don't need to talk about examples of that because I think many of us probably know them. So here we are in this time where people aren't sure, what's the point of church? Why do I even want to be a part of this? Should I even take the risk because it's so uncomfortable? Maybe I just stay home or stay online and stay just in my little bubble. There's so many reasons not to go to church, and yet you are here. You crazy people. You showed up. And some of you were like, well, I came once, and I was like, maybe. And then Sunday came around again, and you're like, let's try again. And then you walked away going, I think Jesus is doing stuff in me. But it's not this big, wow, flashy thing. It's a deep inner formation, isn't it? And then you find yourself the next Sunday going, I think we should go again. And then hopefully the following Sundays are like, it's Sunday. Let's go to church. Because you know you're going to get connected with who? Jesus. That it's all about Him, it's all for Him, and it's all by Him. That's what church is meant to be. But we don't want to stay in this spot where we go, I go to church for me. Because if we think that way, we will hit a ceiling of growth, won't we? If we just go, Jesus is what I need to continue living just for me. I like this arrangement. The God of the universe exists just to serve me. And I get to keep doing things I want and the way I want. And we all know part of what we're being saved from is me. Part of what I'm being saved from is where I'm prone to sinful, harmful, self-destructive things. And so we get called out. We find a God who loves us enough to die for and save us even from ourselves, to live for something bigger, something better, something grander in this world than just my day-to-day pleasure. I read an interesting article this week about something called, what did they call it? The hollow ghost. The hollow ghost. And it's a term that they use to describe somebody who has become so wealthy that they can do anything they have ever wanted at any time without any hindrance. Who has honestly thought, I wonder what that would be like? Right? Most of us are just like, it'd be nice to have a cushion, right? But there are individuals within our society who have so much, they never even have to think about whether or not they can do something. But what the hollow ghost is this look on their face when they've had everything they could possibly want and they're still not happy. They're still hungry. Elon Musk made a tweet this week where he talked about that. You can have everything in the world and it doesn't buy happiness. And it was like a lament right there on the internet. So we know that is not the path to true happiness. We need to get caught up into a better story. One that is life transforming, but also catches us up into something that's worth spending our life on, that's not just for ourselves. This world is going to get increasingly selfish, I think. Increasingly dog eat dog. But we are a people following the way of Jesus who are going, I want to be a part of something bigger than me that's better for the world, not just for me. You with me? So I want you to take a second. I want you to look around the room. I want you to see the different faces here. Alex, come here. Just come here. Does everyone know Alex? Here's what we all know about Alex. What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know.
What are you going to say? Here's what we all know about Alex. He's awesome. He's awesome, isn't he? He just whispered in my ear, am I though? I'm like, look at these people. We have seen your heart time and time and time again. And it's a good heart. Do we like Alex? Do we love Alex? Do we want Alex to have a bright future? Do we think he's going to have a bright future? Yeah. Can you receive that? I think watching everyone kind of start to file in today, even this morning I was sitting in my study and just shed some tears a bit because you are beautiful people. And I see these two ultra valuable things of going, I love Jesus more than anything else I've found in this life. He is everything I love. And he's everything I want to live for. It's just the simplicity of it, but it's everything. And then on the other side, to sit and think through each, because in my daily prayer book, I have all your names written. And just to read your name and think of your face and just think, what a privilege it is just to know you. What a privilege it is to be with you in this pursuit of more of Jesus. And so I just want you to know, member or not, that's not the point. You are just so valuable to Christ Church. And this is the simplicity of what church is, but it's also the transcendent beauty and why it's so impactful to the world. Where else do you get this? Where else? Nowhere but here. So here's the six things that we look for in what it means to be a member of Christ Church. This is where we make our commitment official. The first thing on the bottom right here, it all begins with union with Christ. We want you to be connecting with Jesus. That is the number one priority of Christ Church, is that you would come to knowledge of him, faith and trust in him, and that you'd be baptized into him. That we want you to have all that's available for you in Jesus. But that continues into your apprenticeship, that there's a growth journey where we realize Jesus changes everything, so everything about the way we're living needs to be changed, needs to be reformatted in a beautiful way. And so Christ Church is devoted to your formation. We want to help you grow, and a member of Christ Church is seeking to grow in their walk with Jesus, to become an apprentice. He is who I'm following. What you'll find in that process is there's a community of us that you can live in loving friendship and relationship with other people, that we are all growing in our ability to be like Christ and to love like Christ, and we're practicing that on each other. We don't always do that perfect. Fair? This may come as a surprise, but Joe makes mistakes sometimes. Just Joe. The rest of us, we're killing it. Right? We have the highs and lows as we try and grow into this. And all of a sudden we might hit a spot that takes us deep into pain, and we're not fully ourselves the way we want to be, but that's what our apprenticeship does, is it leads us into that growth. And then we come to a place where we go, I'm not just receiving, I get it. I get the vision of what's happening here. That I want to carry this vision. I want to wear it in the sense that this is the vision I'm signing up for and I'm sharing with others. That this is the way of my life and I see that this is the way of the church and I want it to be the way of everything. And so this leads to this commitment to build this place where you become part of the process of building it into something beautiful that looks like Jesus. And in doing so, we commit financially, we commit our gifts, we commit to caring for the poor. This is where we go, my little life is not the end of all things. I'm now part of a bigger project. I'm part of a village. I'm part of a community that's building something in Oceanside that I'm a part of. I'm not just an island unto myself trying to fight off the world. I'm part of a greater cause, and that's the church. And that's why it makes sense why we would commit our time and our energies and our money towards that work, doesn't it? That this is what we want to be a part of, something that's good for the world, not just good for us. That's actually part of our salvation. And then this is where we share in then the ministry of this church to go, I'm actually going to take the Jesus I have received and I'm going to be a part of giving that Jesus to other people. Both in the church in ministry and out of the church in our mission. Whether that be through the coldest night of the year or evangelism and sharing our faith and our testimony to others, that we're finding ways in this community around us to spread this Jesus to the world, to spread the goodness out. This isn't just a storehouse of a lot of Jesus and we try to keep it here and not lose it. The nature of Jesus is the more we give away of him, the more we get. The more generous we are, the more we have. That the work we're doing is to seek to not hoard, but spread out. And be fruitful with it. And serve the building of the church and share the message of the church to the world. That's what membership means for us. And in making that official commitment, part of what we're saying is we want our kids, we want our families to see that we're a part of building something bigger than ourselves. I thought about that this morning. We've had this conversation this week in my household because some of my kids were saying, you know, we only get one day off a week. That was the communal discussion. I was like, well, what do you mean? We have the weekend. They're like, church doesn't count. It's almost like they think it's a work day or something. Like our kids have constant responsibilities, which they do. And so part of the discussion was to go, we don't just live for ourselves. We don't just get through the week to have rest. That's not the vision of our life. We're involved in something bigger than ourselves because we believe it's good for the world. That's the type of kids that we're trying to raise. And that's this legacy that we leave for future generations. So what I would ask of you this morning, I think, is just that we would all check in again with those six things. Is the main thing in my life my union with Jesus? Am I moving forward in my apprenticeship? Am I engaging in real community and connection with other people? Do I carry and share the vision of Christ's church? Have I committed to and followed through on my commitment to build it? Through my tithes and my alms, through my acts of service, am I sharing in the ministry and the mission of Christ's church? We have intentionally chosen slow growth here. We do not just want to get big as fast as possible. We want to get deep into Jesus. We want to get our roots deep into His grace and bear good, healthy, authentic fruit as a community. We want real changed lives. And so as you ask yourself those questions, let's also now invite our new members to the front.